Good evening, everyone. Just recently, and someone asked me a question, because this person going through a lot of difficulties in life, one after another, and then just recently, she was being sued and being brought to court, and she asked me, how can I end my suffering? How to stop my suffering? Then I say, you can't. You can't stop your suffering, you can't end your suffering, because you cannot end suffering outside, isn't it? You cannot stop people, you know, say, how come these people accusing me doing this thing? How come you did that? How, you know, I said, you know, yeah, we have no control over that, isn't it? If people, whatever people want to say to us, what other people want to do, you know, we have no control. I said, if you try to end that, I said, the harder you try, the worse. I say, you can't end the suffering. You can only end the suffering inside. Sometimes we think that object is a problem, but we don't see that how we relate to the object. I say, you can never end the suffering. I say, you can never get rid of suffering. Lots of people think that oh, this is a problem. I have to get rid of my problem. You can never get rid of your suffering. You can never get rid of your problem. You can only understand, you have to understand your problem. Where is it coming from? You know, is this that sometimes we always think the outside is a problem? I remember, I just recently, I think just a couple of months ago, I read an a news and article that is this, it just really struck me, you know, and this time of, you know, like not. People still do such things, you know. I thought that this is only happened in the movie, and this that there was a lady, and she was married, and she's in India, and actually it's a true story, and she fall in love. She has a lover, and then the husband is a businessman, so then he fall in love with the lover, and then he's afraid that the husband will find out, but he want to be with the lover, you know. So you know this. Then he got the idea. She tried to copy, you know. There's this idea from that movie. I think play from Bollywood. You know, I think if the Shah Rukh Khan or something like that. You know, he defaced. You know, the story is about he defaced himself. Like he will add another person. So then he tried to. Then he killed the husband because she's a nurse. No, she's a nurse. So when her husband falls asleep, so he inject him, you know, give him injection and kill him. And then he defaced the lover, defaced the lover, destroyed the face. And then somehow, you know, they think that they can get away. You know, you think that only this thing will happen in the movie, isn't it? How stupid people will do these things. But sometimes when you overcome by lust, greed, you know, this is how. Sometimes we think that, oh yes, I'm so happy with this person. So we think that the person is a source of happiness. This person gives me happiness. So my happiness is come from this person. Actually, it's not. It's how the person makes you feel. It's not that happiness is come from that object, come from that person. And at the same time, our suffering is also not come from that person. Isn't it? It's how the person makes you feel. So she thinks that she has so much suffering with her husband. So I have to get rid of my husband. So then I can, you know, forever, you know, like the fairy tale, you know, then I will run, I will stay with her lover. Of course, she can't get away because of because they can recognize his voice. So he didn't speak. So the doctor said, how come he's okay? It's only his face destroyed. But he can speak. And why he can't speak? And then, of course, the family, the son, just felt that he's someone else, you know? They started to suspect, you know? And this is how then they found out. Actually, he's not the husband. Actually, in fact, they killed the husband. And then when I read this, you know, I was thinking, wow, you see, in real life, people would do that, you know? How much suffering isn't it to face, you know? To destroy the face, you know? And to go to the extent. They say sometimes, like once, you know, we are not aware with our thoughts when it arises, we get hooked in. then the mind keep go on and on and on. And then we think that, oh yeah, this person bring me suffering, you know, and this person's terrible, you know. Then only if I get rid of this person, I be happy. No, isn't it? You think that, you know, you get rid of the person, you be happy. I mean, you will meet, we cannot control who we're going to meet, isn't it? Who is, you know, then, you know, you think that you can get rid of this person, and then you meet another 3 or 4 more or 10 more of the same kind, isn't it? You can never control that. That is outside, we cannot control. That's why the Buddha said the first noble truth is life is inherently unsatisfactory. This is part of life. Sometimes, like, you know, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect, but we try to make it perfect, you know, and then we don't understand that this is part of life. No one in this world that you happy 24 hours, always bright and beautiful, never feel grumpy. No, isn't it? Sometimes, see, there is ups and downs. There's parts of life, but and we actually sometimes we create lots of suffering and we suffer unnecessarily because we don't understand life. We expect more than what life can offer. And also it reminds me that sometimes ago someone said to me that he said my friend divorced his wife because his wife is really too good. I said, what? You know? And it's really, I was too good? He divorced his wife. Then he told me that because of the wife liked to fuss over him. So when he come back, you know, so he said, oh, you know, we'll cook dinner for him. And then every 5 minutes, you know, do you need a cup of tea? Are you hungry? You need something? Come on, leave me alone. I just, you know, sometimes when you're tired, you just want to be alone, isn't it? But the wife, every 5 minutes, pops on, you know, oh, darling, how are you? You know, you need something, like, very caring, you know, to a point that he couldn't stand anymore. And of course, he cannot be himself. Like, you know, sometimes when at work, you're tired, you stress out, you don't know, sometimes you're a bit grumpy. I mean, it's normal, isn't it? Then the wife will think, oh, what's wrong with you, darling, you know? And then they say sometimes like really fast over him. Then they say he when he comes back, he have to pretend that he's happy all the time. It's you can't, isn't it? How can you live your life like that? You have to pretend. And he cannot be himself, you know? Sometimes it's okay to be ourselves. You see, feel grumpy, you know, we're tired, you know, we stress up. And the wife really fussed over him that sometimes, like, he even afraid to go home because it's so difficult. Because if he go home, and, you know, because of the fuss, because sometimes he just need to have the space, he just need to be alone, you know. But from the wife point of view is that I'm coming from the place I'm care for you, I love you, you know, but haven't given him the space. And then he also with the understanding, thinking that, oh, I'm really care for you. If you're not happy, then I try to make you happy. But sometimes we are not happy. It's okay, isn't it? You see, we're not always bright and beautiful. You know, sometimes we're grumpy. You know, it's okay to be grumpy. It's okay sometimes you're not quite happy. It's fine, you know. So it's just who we are. This is part of life, you know. And it's okay. Even unpleasant feelings, it will go. It will not going to stay. And eventually to a point that he can't stand. He said, I really cannot stand, because to him is he really stressed out and he can't be himself. He have to perform, so he have to act that he's happy all the time. Because when he have a slightest, like, unhappy, the wife will come and ask, you'll fuss over him, you know. So to the point that he said, I really cannot live on my life like that, you know, it's just too much suffering. So they said sometimes we think that, you know, we should be happy all the time. If you're not happy, there must be something wrong. But that is part of life, you know. We don't always have pleasant feelings. We don't always feel bright and beautiful all the time. Sometimes you're a bit grumpy, it's fine. That's why I used to tell my nuns, I say, it's okay. You're allowed to be grumpy. I say, you can be a grumpy old nuns or grumpy young nuns, it's okay. You don't have to be bright and beautiful all the time. It's just, you know, it's just part of life, isn't it? And this is how you feel. You're okay to be yourself, you know. But sometimes we misinterpret life. We think that, you know, we only want the beat, you know, that we like. So we try to avoid that, okay, I don't like the other beat. No, this is part of life. You know, we have to take up the whole package. We cannot just select that I only like this beat, I don't like that beat. It's just my role. You see, I have no choice. It's sometimes my role is that, you know, this is my job. Sometimes I have to make difficult decision whether I like it or not. You know, sometimes I have no choice. Sometimes I mean, in a very difficult situation, no-win situation. I think all of you have experienced that, isn't it? Not easy solution, that is part of life. And that's why I have to sometimes make decision that whether I like it or not. You know, just recently we have the renovation of our nun's cottage because we have termite problem. And I have to make the decision because it's badly infested. And I have to call the pest control company, you know. I have to make that decision. If I have the choice, I wouldn't want to do it, isn't it? But I really have no choice. But part of my, you know, my duty and responsibility, you know, then I have to make that decision to do that, you know, you know, because this is, like the Buddha said, this is part of life. That's why the Buddha said, first noble truth is inherently unsatisfactory, no matter what we do, you know, we can do our, I can only do my best, you know. So I try to minimize the damage. And I have to make that decision. That is a very difficult decision. And then talk about the termite. Then just remind me that the nuns doing the paint, because we ripped off the floor. So it's, oh, since we had ripped off the floor, we might as well repaint the whole cottage, because it's been almost 20 years, you know. Then we repaint the whole cottage and the ceiling, you know. And this remind me of a joke, you know, because talking about termites remind me of the painting and remind me of a joke. And so the nuns have to do all the painting, you know. Remind me of a joke that a nuns there was two nuns asked to paint the room. And by the superior said, you have to paint the room, but make sure that you're not allowed to dirty your robes. If you dirty your robes, you'll be punished. So, because white robes, you know, then so they said, how are we going to paint the room without getting dirty? So one of the nuns said, oh, I got a good idea. Because we're in the room, we just locked the door, so no one there. So we can take off our robes and then we can do the painting. So then after a while, someone knocked on the door, knock, knock. I said, who's there? Blind man. So he said, oh, blind man. So see, he's blind, he can't see us, you know. So I think it's okay, he can't see us, you know. So they opened the door, allowed the blind man come in. Then the blind man come in and said, oh yes, I come in to install the blind. This is how it's a blind man, you know. Yeah. And this is like sometimes we have to sometimes life, like, you know, we don't understand life. We try to get rid of all the suffering. We can't. We have to. That's why the Buddha said the first noble truth have to be fully understand. And sometimes a lot of suffering that we don't have to, especially our mental proliferation. So the Buddha said, we think what we are. All that we are arises with thoughts. Actually, we create our own world, the Buddha said, you know, all the mental proliferation. So thinking about it and how terrible it is, you know. And I remember I remember when I was in Thailand, and then some of the jobs, especially those hard ones, and nobody wants to do, and everybody runs away. And then I was the one left behind. Of course, at the beginning, I was really, you know, not happy with that. I keep complaining in my own mind, you know. Then so, why these people, you know, then I have a long, my mind go on and on and on, you know, give a long admonition of, you know, these people, how should they behave, you know, and how come, you know, they don't help with the job, and I'm the one who have to do all these jobs and things like that, go on and on and on. And that goes on for a few days. And then eventually I just realized that, what the heck are you doing? So I told myself, shut up, you know. That's why I said, it's enough, because actually thinking about it and get very angry and upset about it is more suffering than actually just doing the work. So actually the moment I realized that, when I stopped, actually I was happy. Actually the physical tiredness is nothing. But the mental preparations, we keep thinking about it, thinking about how bad, about, you know, what other people have done to me, you know. And it is actually, it's more suffering than excel at that, actually doing the work. And then when I stopped that, I realized actually thinking about it is more suffering than actually I'm just doing it. Then after that, actually I was just happy doing the work. And that's why sometimes I remember sometimes people ask me that, you know, that sometimes we worry about people, you know, not being honest, they cheat you. I said, it's fine. I said, I choose to trust someone. It's for my own well-being. So then people ask me, how about if the person cheat you? I said, it's not my problem. You know, if the person want to cheat me, it's that person's problem, isn't it? I said, because I choose to trust. Because if imagine if you're always being suspicious of others, you never have a peace of mind, isn't it? That kind of, you know, all the negativities, all the suspicions about this person doing this, they might do this and that, and a lot of mental suffering. So I said, I choose to trust. I don't care if the person cheat me. It's that person's problem. It's not my problem. So I choose to forgive. It's also for my own benefit, you know, because if I go on and on and on, thinking about how bad the person is, what this person have done, what this, you know, and go on and on, I'm the one who suffer. But I choose to forgive is for my own well-being. Because if I go on and on, I'm going to suffer. Because the mental proliferation, I remember someone said to me that this person remember of his ex. And then the mind, you know, how one thoughts arises and then it's latched on because based on your previous experience, how about this person? And then it started to make up the story. And the story ended up that she killed her ex. And not even, he's even not there, you know. How's the mind go on and on? Because we latch on one of the talks, you know. Then go on and on and on. And we don't see that. We create so much suffering for ourselves. We don't see that. And it's unnecessarily. See, this is sometimes some of the suffering is our own creation. We create that suffering. So we latch on to one of the thoughts. And then the thoughts that one little thoughts arises and it's latched on to one another. And especially sometimes, like we start to worry about things. Especially we start to project into the future. This might happen, that might happen, and then it's worry. We have someone, you know, it's not even happened yet, and then start to worry about a few days, not can't sleep, but it's not happening yet. But this is how our own creation. But it's, we don't have to suffer, isn't it? Some of the suffering we don't have to suffer, but we suffer because of because lack of mindfulness, we don't see ourselves. We got sucked in, we get hooked, we don't see ourselves. And it's just a spiral, you know? Like, you know, we can't see. That's why this is how, you know, that we create suffering, you know, unnecessarily. You know? And I remember that, you know, what I tried to say. Yeah, and this person ended up like, you know, worry about things and what is might going to happen, and then we start to project in the future, and then if things we project that is going to happen, if it's not happening, we think that is wrong. We think that maybe, you know, sometimes we project in the future and then we try to plan things. So then we try to control everything. And then when things don't go according to our plan, we think that is wrong. Actually, it's not wrong. Because what our planning, what our projection is based on our previous experience, is based on what we already knew, isn't it? So when something happened to outside, what we know. If you think it's wrong, actually it's not wrong. But you look at it in a positive way. Actually, we learn something new, isn't it? There is something new. It helps us to be able to think outside the box. Is something new. It's not wrong. So sometimes when things don't go according to the plans, actually we learn something new. There is something that we don't know. Then we say, there's another way of doing things. You know, we learn more. You know, we be able to help us think outside the box. It's not wrong. But we think that it's wrong. You know, it's just because of everything is based on our own experience and we project into the future. And everything that is wrong. And then that's why sometimes the Buddha said the first noble truth has to be fully understood. So we have to understand this is part of life. And some of the suffering we cannot avoid, you know. We cannot avoid natural disasters. So whatever, you know, if any accidents that sometimes we cannot control and we have no control over what other people do, but we can control our path. That is how we don't get hooked into that. So they said the first noble truth have to be, the suffering has to be fully understood. Then rather than we try to get rid of suffering, we understand. We understand our problem. Where is it coming from? You see, it's our own, is it my own creation? Or, you know, is it that, you know, is how I relate to the situation? And you look at it, where is it coming from? You look, find out the cause. So that the cause of a suffering is always come from our craving, isn't it? When something's pleasant, we crave, we want more. So our greediness, like this lady that killed her husband, that she's thinking that, you know, because something pleasant, and then so she want more, and then she thinks that the object give her bring her suffering. She tried to get rid of the husband, thinking that, you know, I'd be happy ever after. And that's why it's always when we can't get what we want. So anger arises. It's come from the craving. It's always come from the craving. The one thing. We want thing. And then when we can't get what we want, we got upset, we got angry. And we got hooked. The reason why we got hooked, because we have no clarity of mind. We have the awareness is not there. We not be able to see that how's that one little thought, you know, that pops up, and then we got sucked in, and then we go on and on and on, create more suffering. That's like the cause of that is our craving, our wanting, and attachment. When we got hooked, we got attached, you know, we get sucked in. So to be able to see that, we have to develop our clarity. They said, the Buddha said, there is a way out. That is to develop the path. That is the noble four path. That is, we have to, they said, there is a way out. You know, first of all, we have to understand we cannot get rid of our suffering. We cannot. But we understand suffering and we find out the cause. Where is the cause of suffering? Where is the suffering coming from? In order to be able to see the cause of the suffering, in order not to get hope, we have to develop the path. That is the noble four path. So we have to, that is the morality, stillness, and wisdom. So we need to have do have the virtuous life, you know, to have the morality, to being virtuous as a foundation for the peaceful mind, a still mind. With a still mind, that's where wisdom arises, where the clarity. So because if you don't live a virtuous life, if you have done something that is, you know, unwholesome, it affects our mind. So it's very difficult to become peaceful and calm. So that's why that is a way out. So that's why sometimes when we talk about the Buddhists talk about noble truth, when we talk about suffering, it's not that you have to suffer, no pain, no gain. No. It's just that we understand the suffering, how we get out of it. So that is a way out. The fact that we get sucked in because of we have no clarity. So that is a path. So that is, we are very fortunate there is a teaching there. There is a path, noble four path. So practicing restraint, you know, to be a virtuous person, to restrain ourselves from unwholesome acts, unwholesome speech, you know, unwholesome behavior, you know, that restrain ourselves, you know, that as a foundation for a peaceful mind. Because if you have done something that is unwholesome, it's very difficult to be peaceful, isn't it? It just, the mind go on and on, it's just very difficult, you know. Then to develop this peaceful mind, only when our mind becomes still, only we have the clarity, we'll be able to see. The fact that why sometimes we think that why people do stupid things? Because actually you can't really see it yourself, you can't see. Especially when you got hooked, you know, you can't see yourself. It's like a spiral. Once you get hooked, you just spin in and in and in, and you can't see yourself. And you just follow that trend of thoughts, you know, and then doing something that is stupid because lack of the awareness, you know, lack of clarity, you can't see it. So that is a way out to develop the path that is the noble four path. So with morality, supporting the stillness, and you develop the clarity, then you'll be able to see, you know, and you learn to make peace with the situation. That is a way. So, and then that is how, you know, you cannot get rid of suffering, you know. We can lessen our suffering, because the suffering will not just, we cannot just get rid of the suffering and we can make, just end the suffering like that. You can't. Because it's just like, whenever, you know, when we have the clarity, so when there's one unwholesome thought arises this moment, we're aware of that, we are not feeding that thought. So when we are not feeding it, it's just like we don't feed, it's just like the fire, you know. If we don't add on fuel, the fire will become smaller, isn't it? The same thing, our defilements will not grow. If we keep feeding these unwholesome thoughts, we reinforce our defilements, and our defilements keep growing. So when we stop feeding it, you know, so it doesn't mean that our defilements disappear immediately and we end our suffering. We can't, you know. But the way it works is that you lessen your suffering. For example, like certain things that, you know, that used to bother you, maybe, you know, you will get upset for months, you know, couldn't let it go, and, you know, and you get hooked, you know, and get sucked in, and then you think about it, got upset about it for months. And then as you develop your clarity, you'll be able to see yourself that, you know, that you get hooked, and then you're not feeding that, you know, that defilements. And it doesn't mean that it stops, it's still there, but the intensity of that anger or the things that bother you doesn't stay as long. Maybe, you know, in the past, you know, it stays for a few months, you know, then it stays for a few weeks and stay for a few days. And this is how actually you lessening your suffering. So you cannot get rid of your suffering. You can only lessen your suffering. You lessen your suffering. So less and less, the intensity of that defilements become reduced. It's just like you don't keep on adding fuel to the fire. When there is no more fuel, the fire will stop. So a lot of people think that, oh, I already start practicing. How come I still have anger? Your anger won't go away immediately. You still have anger. It's still there. But the anger will eventually cease when there is no more fuel. It will stop by itself. So, but we can never get rid of the suffering. But we can only lessen our suffering through the practice. And we eventually some, you know, that the how when no more fuel, no the no nothing to burn, so the fire will cease. So they say sometimes it takes time, it's a gradual training. So that's why that is the ending of that suffering. So we can only end suffering through develop our wisdom, our clarity, you know, to understand that where the suffering coming from. You know, how we get sucked in. You know, why we suffer. Is it the suffering is outside or is inside, is in, you know. And we cannot end the suffering outside. It's within us. So that's why it's look inside. And how we react to the situation. Whether we learn to make peace with the situation. If we know that we can't make any changes, you know, we can't change other people, you know. Then we learn to accept that. We learn to make peace with that person. I remember someone used to complain to me about the mothers and the family, that, you know, because they're different practice, you know. Then I said, it's fine, whatever, you know, they practice a different Buddhism, like Mahayana Buddhism. I said, it's fine, whatever Buddhism they practice. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, you, because sometimes this suffering is also come from our senses, our ego. Sometimes we our ego getting in the way. Sometimes we think that, oh, we are so kind. Oh, they're not, you know. Sometimes the self-righteousness, oh, this is not right. And sometimes we hold on to our views and opinions, you know. It's just like, for example, I remember many years ago, and I was quite upset with my sibling. And I was thinking that, oh yeah, you know, she shouldn't do this and this and, you know, go on and on, you know. Then I realized that, you know, I said, hey, hang on a minute. Actually, you don't really love her. If you truly love her, you know, you will not get upset with her. And I realized that actually, I attached to my own views more than I love that person. You know, go on and on thinking that the person is wrong, you know. Because we attach to our own views and opinions. This is the sense of self. I'm right, the person not doing the right thing or not the right practice. You know, I should tell them they shouldn't practice that way, you know. But then I told this person, if you truly love that person, you love that person as the person is. You don't try to change that person and make, you know. I realized that, oh, yeah. Actually, but I give myself the excuse that, oh, I love, because I love this person, you know, then I get upset because I love this person. I think that person not is doing the right thing. But actually, I realize that actually I attach to my own views much more than I love that person. Because I think that is not right. I hold on to the views that, you know, is not right. But if you truly love the person, you love the person no matter who the person is, isn't it? Whatever what the person have done, you love the person as the person is. But sometimes a lot of suffering that is our own creation that we can avoid, you know. So sometimes we cannot get rid of sufferings, but we understand suffering. And there is a way out. So that is by understanding the suffering, so we find out the cause of the suffering, and we develop the clarity, you know. Then the clarity help us, you know, to lessen our suffering. Then our suffering will lessen and lessen. Then the suffering will cease. But we can never get rid of the suffering. We can only, you know, it's a gradual training. You practice, we keep practicing, you know. That is the, this is, we have the path is there, the noble eightfold path is there. All we need to do is keep practicing. So all we need to do is keep practicing, and we reduce, we lessening our suffering little by little. Is there's no shortcut, and we cannot use our willpower to get rid of things. We can never get rid of our suffering. We can only understand our suffering by develop wisdom and more clarity. And this is how we lessen our suffering. So I offer this for your Dharma reflection, and may this teaching be of benefit to all of you. Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments? Okay. Someone asked me, how are you? I answered honestly about being uncomfortable at that time. Then the person told me to look at the positive side of everything. How do I balance honesty and optimism? Yes, I know. I have people tell me that always drive them crazy. And this is like it's easy said and done. You know, I have someone like very tired, and then all this person need is just want to rest, and the other person is out of kindness, and then give this person 1.5 hour lecture how to be positive, and the person said, please leave me alone. You know, I just want to rest. You know, they say sometimes kindness without, you know, sometimes kindness without wisdom can be quite destructive, you know. Sometimes we, it's okay. I mean, it's okay. We don't always feel good all the time, you know. Doesn't mean that the person don't feel good. Doesn't mean that person is negative. Sometimes you might be tired, you know, like that person, she said, I'm just tired, like a lot of work to do, being so tired. And then the other person being so kindly, thinking that, oh, what's wrong with you? And then, you know, we don't have to be always, you know, sometimes it's okay that, you know, that we being a bit grumpy is fine. You don't have to be bright and beautiful all the time. And I know this is, I always have this, people complain to me that this is what they experience. They said they drive them nuts, you know, crazy, you know. Yeah, so sometimes it doesn't mean that you don't feel uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that you're not positive. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I just said, you know, you say, okay, if the person said that, you say, oh, yeah, it's okay. You know, and I know how is it like, because sometimes the person don't even know that they are part of the contribution, you know. And someone told me that this person, like, keep asking this person to help her to do this and do that, and really stress that person out. And of course, that person is so tired. And then, of course, sometimes when you're tired, because this person used to be very sweet all the time, but when you're tired, then she a bit like she snapped, you know. Then she's, oh, what's wrong with you? There must be something wrong. And then give her 1.5 hour lecture, how to be positive. And then actually, this person is the one who contribute to, she is part of the problem, you know. And then she is the one to try to counsel that person, you know, and how to be positive, you know. And they say sometimes it's very difficult. You bound to meet someone like that, you know. And doesn't mean that you're not happy that moment that you are being negative. So it's okay. It's okay that, you know, this is how you feel. So if the person asks you, you know, that you feel uncomfortable, say, yeah, this is how. And then if the person tells you to be positive, okay, thank you so much. That's it, you know. And try to just, you know, walk away. Sometimes I feel sorry for that person have a 1.5 hour lecture, you know, how to be positive. Questions from Florida, USA. Is it better to tolerate or ignore selfish people around us rather than trying to advise them to be selfless? Yes. Rather to just accept the way they are, you know, to try to change them is difficult, because sometimes, like, you know, the person has to have the willingness to change. If the person has no willingness to change, no matter how hard we try, we can't. Even our own family, we can't. We have a lot of problems with people come to me that they have problems with their family, that I said, you can't. You can only do your best. This is part of life. Sometimes we can only do our best. It's not that we don't care. It's not that we don't love. I mean, you can always care. You can always love that person. But you don't try to change that person if the person not willing to change. And it's easier to just accept the person as a person is than to try to change. And that's why I said this is how we have to learn to let go, because our attachment, especially our family members, you know, if it happened to other people, it's fine. But if our own parents, our own sibling, you know, we find it very difficult. We somehow think that we feel responsible. We feel that we have to help them, you know. But sometimes, you know, they have to come from them. We can only do that much. But doesn't mean that we don't care. We still love them. If they really need help, we're always there for them. But you have to learn to let go as well, you know. Sometimes, even if our own children, you know, even with my own children, I can't, you know, I can only love and care and give advice if he needed. But I can't really change. I can't really, you know, involve in their life too much. You know, this is how on our part we learn to let that go. I think it's much more from the attachment. It's easier to do that to the people that is not related to you. It's quite difficult when if your own family member somehow, because the attachment is there. So, but we don't try to deny. We just acknowledge that, you know, the attachment is still there. You know? Yes, it's easier to just, you know, let them be, you know. And, you know, of course, if the person needs your help, of course, we will do our best to help that person. So if the person not willing to change, so we can't do anything about it. That's why we learn to let go. So any more questions or comments? Any more questions, comments? Yes.
So I have a friend who's very old friend who's just struggling so much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's very hard to hear that and to be around that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage that then?
Okay. They say sometimes you have to know for yourself how much, if you really can't handle, then they say sometimes we have to be kind to ourselves as well. If you get affected, then you have to remove yourself. Because it's no point that it's just like the Buddha said, you know, sometimes we try to help the other person. Before we can pull the other person up, we get pulled in because you got affected. And emotionally, and you know, and it's not helpful. It's not that you don't care. And kindness also, including yourself. So that's why if you find that you can't take anymore, then you have to just avoid that, you know. At times you feel that you can take it, you know, if you can help, you do it. But if you know that you can't handle anymore, so it's good that you remove yourself to be kind to yourself as well. Because it's not really helpful, because like you're not helping her because you got pulled in. Got emotional, you know, emotionally upset or whatever, you know, get affected, and you're not helping her and not helping yourself. But at least you remove yourself, at least you help yourself, you know. You can't help her, but at least, you know, you help yourself rather than do being pulled down, you know. Yes, any more questions or comments? Any more questions, comments? Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about suffering from child abuse.
Yes.
Extreme suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyed people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, especially because I have like been counseling especially the youngest, they've gone through that. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, that comes out of it. There's like, and actually it takes long time and it's not easy. And the younger the person gone through that, the more difficult. And some even not functional, some people. Some, if they be able to function, is considerably quite good, you know. And that's why sometimes, again and again, I stress so much about how mental health, because I've seen a lot, even some parents, they come from, they always think that, you know, I have one person that I've been counseling, also she gone through a lot of, not really child abuse, but suppression, like she has to be behave in a certain way, and she has to be, you know, top, she have to maintain number one, you know, and the loss of mental suffering. That's why sometimes, like, sometimes parents think what is really good for the child, but actually it's not, you know. So it's this, it takes time, it's not easy. So the person have to, you know, to need lots of support, and also the person have to have lots of support, and involved is a lot, like for example, involved in doing some volunteer job, you know, because this is help them, you know, away from, because sometimes it's quite difficult to come out of it. So that's why, because by sharing, giving, then it's help to give the person, you know, that sense of, you know, that I'd be able to give, you know. And it takes time, actually. It's quite difficult case. I have some of them, it's so difficult. Even some of the case that I try very hard, like I've been trying so hard, but still quite difficult, like especially some of those that they are really not quite functional. It's really damaged the whole life, truly. So that's why sometimes I feel really sorry for people to gone through all these abuses. That's why sometimes, that's why we don't judge others. Sometimes we don't judge others why some people behave in a certain way, because you have no idea how much the person suffer, why the person behave that way, because we have no idea what the person's, how much the person suffer. So we don't judge. That's why, you know, and that's why compassion is not about, if you pity for that person, to understand the person's suffering. So, because whoever go through that, you will have that. It's a cause and effect. You know, like sometimes people have phobia, or some people have very serious compulsive, obsessive compulsive disorder. Some people have very, I have one case that the person couldn't stop cleaning until very tired, also can't stop. So much suffering. You know, there's sometimes that this is this a cause and effect? Whoever go through that, you know, you have that. So we don't identify the person, you know, that something wrong with the person, or the person, you know. I have someone said to me that, you know, they went to see psychiatrists and psychologists and been diagnosed, or I have obsessive compulsive disorder, I have this, I have that. I said, please don't label yourself, you know. Don't label yourself. You don't have to live up to that. Because sometimes the problem with all this label, you know, be labeling, and then sometimes people think that they have to live up to that. So yeah, it's not an easy case. I know I've dealt with people with this, like really one from child 3 years old, being sexually abused. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Yeah. It takes a long time. So also partly depends on the person karma, if you have lots of supports. We have people come out of it. we have people that have lots of support, and also depends on that. Sometimes that person karmic inheritance. If people sometimes people the mind, you know, that some people that just karmic inherently they're stronger, you know. You see, some people go through lots of difficult life, they still come out of it, but some people it's quite difficult. So that's why they need lots of supports. And also sometimes also, yeah, it depends also the person's karma. If the person have lots of supports, then it takes a long time, you know. So I don't know whether this answer your question, because it's quite a difficult... So we this is sometimes we know that, so we have compassion towards people, you know, to understand their suffering. So I don't know whether this will answer your question. It is a difficult one. Yeah. Is there any more questions or comments? So, no more questions, comments? Okay. So I think we can end this tonight talks, okay? Good night.